Hey guys, welcome back to the B-List. I'm B. I have a first-time guest here, but it's not our first time talking. I am joined by Andy from Astrology with Andy. It's astrologywithandy.com. And the Instagram account is Astrology with Andy. The last name is Andy B.
Belatti. B-E-L-L-A-T-T-I, yes.
You know, I always want to say Barragani because it reminds me of, do you know Barragani from... Bon Appetit.
Oh, I see. Okay, yeah.
But that was like a whole scandal, I think.
Yeah.
Oh God.
So no, how's very it going? Different last name.
Yeah. How's it going?
It's going well. I'm in, you know, in the desert in Vegas. So okay. enjoying my time here. I'm actually going to New York City for a day because I'm actually going with a person you've also had in your podcast.
Yes, Jess. Yes.
Yeah, from Hot Takes and Deep Dives. We're going to do the Hamptons and Fire Island. So I'm on my way to back to the East Coast.
Yeah, she mentioned that because obviously everybody, the last episode here was just Rothschild from Hot Takes, Deep Dives. She's always a joy to talk to, but we have that person in common. And she actually introduced us because I was getting, I don't really like know that much about astrology, obviously, but in recent like years, I've started to have a little more interest in it. So I actually came to Andy for a reading. What was it? A natal reading or was it like a year?
It was natal chart and year ahead. So it's like a little bit of an overview of your birth chart and a little bit, you know, I hate the word predicting when I talk about astrology, but there is like a forecasty kind of vibe to it that you can apply. And actually that was Melissa Beck who connected us.
Oh, was it? I thought it was Jess.
Melissa, I mean, like Jess had mentioned in the past.
Okay.
But Melissa was the one who emailed you and I and was like,
Okay. Yeah. I freaking forget most of 2021. As you guys know, Melissa Beck from Real World New Orleans. You've been watching that, right? Are you pretty?
I loved. Yeah. I haven't watched the final episode, but I watched all the other seven.
And how did you come to know Melissa Beck?
Well, that was just, you know, because I have an astrology podcast where I kind of go back and forth between solo episodes where I'm explaining astrology stuff. And then I do what I call a chart and chat where I interview somebody, but through their birth chart. Mm-hmm. And the original season of New Orleans, Real World, was one of my favorites. So I first had Danny was my first guest.
Okay.
And then I was like, well, I always loved Melissa, but I was like, I don't know what's become of her. And then I found her Instagram. This is way before Homecoming even started filming.
Yeah.
And I just reached out to her and I did her chart. And then through that, she and I kind of got to know each other better.
She's great. We love Melissa.
Yes.
Do you have a favorite Real World season growing up?
Well, there's a few that I just have, I guess, sentimental value to. Like San Francisco was the first one I ever watched. So that one just left like a very big mark. Hawaii, I loved. Mm-hmm. Mainly for Kaya. I think Kaya brought a lot of interesting energy to that. And then New Orleans. And then I kind of kept watching all the way until DC, but increasingly my interest has waned.
It's kind of like Housewives.
Yes. One of the things that Jess and I always talk about is that I'm all about OG Housewives.
Yeah.
Like I could watch seasons 1 through 3 of Roni.
Yeah.
On a loop for eternity and be entertained. And now I don't mind watching Housewives, but I just find it all so overly produced that there's something very nostalgic for me about even like Jersey, like seasons 1 through 3, the Kim G days, you know, like that's what I loved and enjoyed the most.
You know, most people always talk about seasons 1 through 3 of Real Housewives of New York, but I always think that it's like season 7 through 10 when Dorinda and Bethany showed up again. You know,
that makes sense. I mean, I would call that like the resuscitation of the franchise.
The Renaissance.
Totally.
The Renaissance.
Yes, I love that.
Renaissance. you guys are going to Fire Island. You've been before, yeah?
Well, I lived in New York for 10 years and I did a few day trips to Fire Island, but this is actually going to be my first time. We're going to be there for like four days and three nights.
Nice. The weather's going to be great. It's going to be chaos, I'm sure. It is Pride Month.
That's right. And I've been loving your observations of the various messes. Now, I don't know if I'm going to be walking around the island with a bag of chips like you have set the trend.
Yes.
But I'll see if anybody else is doing that.
I will say, if everybody wants to take my cue on that, just having chips or snacks in general at a party or a bar attracts men.
Oh.
It does attract men. Snack guys, they love it. They come up to try to get some. Then you have to obviously talk to them.
Right. And so, figure out who's worthy of getting a snack and who isn't.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, it's kind of like, it just helps because I like dick, but hate men. So it's like, so I usually have to like drink to want to talk to men in the first place. So it just kind of like eases the process along for me at least. But that's a tip for anybody else that kind of hates men. So
I love that. And who was it that like a week after you're doing that, at some fashion show, was actually Balenciaga walking around.
Designer. Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. So you really did set the trend.
I did. Matched. You can also color coordinate it with your outfits. And it just like goes with your different moods, like Cheez-Its one day, Ruffles another. So
yeah. Endless possibilities. I love it.
Well, I hope you guys have fun there.
I'm looking forward to it. I also haven't watched the Fire Island movie, Island movie.
You should see it.
Well, Jess and I, she actually texted me this yesterday. She's like, do you want to watch it while we're in the Hamptons before we go to Fire Island? Because I was going to watch it by myself before I went. But I think it'll be like a group event.
The third time she's seen it. She must really love it. Guys, I saw Fire Island movie. It was like good, but I don't think I ever need to see it again. But it's like, I'm seeing all these like think pieces about it and stuff like that. And it's like, guys, it's a rom-com. It's not supposed to like, we're not reinventing the wheel here. It is okay to just be a rom-com and have it be just that. And it's like seeing someone write like a thesis about You've Got Mail. It's like, it's not really that.
Yeah,
it's not that movie, you know.
Yeah. And I also think there is a space and a time for gay film to just be a rom-com. Not everything has to be like multi-layered and deep and intense.
So we talked about my chart last time we talked. We did, like you said, my year ahead. Did you end up looking at my chart a bit? What did you did?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you mean in preparation for this? Yes, I did.
Okay. Do you want to just get right into it? I wanted to so just so you guys know, I have him here today because I really wanted to kind of, I picked a couple of key celebrities that I obviously am very into, and he's gonna, I gave him the birth dates, and then we're gonna do a look at their chart and kind of see what's going on in their lives and what to look forward to and all of that stuff. So yeah, I'm a believer. Yes. So
for you, do you want me to also do that? Talk about kind of what's coming up for you?
Sure.
What the landscape looks like?
Yeah, sure.
I'm sorry.
That'd be great.
Yeah. So I'm really keeping an eye on next spring for you, and especially February, March, April, May. And the reason for that is that you're going to have two very important transits. So just like a quick 101 here. So your birth chart is static. It's basically a circle that has all the sun, the moon, and the planets dispersed throughout. And when I talk about transits, what I'm talking about is the literal movement of the sun, moon, and planets in real time as they move counterclockwise around the chart. And as they do that, they activate certain things in your particular chart. Mm-hmm. So for example, next February, March, and April, you're going to have a very important transit, which is the planet Saturn is going to be sitting right on top of your sun. So Saturn is a planet that represents milestones, responsibility, things coming to a culmination, important decisions, and milestone moments. So a lot of times when, and this happens roughly every 29 years. So this is not something that we can say, it's going to happen in 2 years anyway, 2 years later. So whenever you have Saturn on top of your sun, there's a sense of either laying down the groundwork for an important new project or an important new beginning, or really focusing and really having discipline to start building something new. Mm-hmm. On top of that, what you have going on next spring, and this begins for you around April, May of 23, and it's active all the way until April, May of 24. It's a year-long transit. that's when the planet Uranus, we do not say Uranus in astrology for many reasons, it's Uranus.
Okay.
So Uranus will be 90 degrees away from, it's called a square. It's going to be squaring two sensitive angles, the midheaven and also another one called the IC. The midheaven relates to career and profession, and the IC relates to home, domestic matters. So one thing is that when there's a planet activating both angles at once, my limitation as an astrologer is that I don't know, are you going to experience this more through career or more through home or potentially through both? But whenever Uranus is doing this, which this happens every 40 some years, so this is not very common, that's a planet of very quick, very sudden change. So Uranus is a planet that rules things like lightning, electricity, earthquakes, things that are very sudden and very explosive. It can be very welcomed and amazing changes that are very sudden. So it's not anything to fear. But what I'm getting at is that this combination of the Saturn transit that you're going to have next spring, lining up with the beginning of this Uranus transit, makes me think that next spring is a time of some kind of important shift beginning for you.
Okay. Okay.
The other thing you have going on now and next year, so all of 22, all of 23, is that Pluto is approximately 60 degrees away from your natal Venus. Pluto is the slowest planet of all, so you haven't had this before. And Venus relates to finances, also relationships. And Pluto, 60 degrees away from something, is helping it out. Go ahead.
Didn't NASA recently, this is totally kind of unrelated, isn't Pluto no longer considered a planet?
So that happened back in
06. Does that change anything? Okay.
Yeah. And actually, it's funny because, you know, astronomers think that astrology is a bunch of bullshit. But even within astronomy, there's debate as to whether or not that should have happened.
Yeah.
But the funny thing is that astrologically, that didn't change what Pluto represents.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So we still refer to it as a planet. I think NASA downgraded it to a dwarf planet.
Okay.
But so Venus is finances, also relationships. And Pluto, by sextile, 60 degrees away from something, is beginning a metamorphosis, a transformation, a transmutation. So this could either imply that this year or next, there could be a very significant relationship beginning, or an existing relationship gets much more deep and the bond becomes stronger. But this is a very, very good transit for anything regarding relationships.
Okay, cool.
So that's, I mean, that's a lot to have happening in the next 2 years.
I can see that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's something to look forward to. Someone who has a lot of stuff going on, huge changes right now that I thought would be interesting to kind of get into. And, you know, I know a lot of my listeners probably don't know tons about astrology. So just like a brief kind of overview of like what you see happening in their lives. And I think you might be familiar with some of these names. I think, were you when I gave you the list?
All of them.
Okay. Yes. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. So Ashley Darby was one I thought was interesting. We love Ashley Darby. Did you watch Real Housewives of Potomac?
I have watched the first 3 seasons in full and half of 4. So I'm not completely up to date, but I know enough about Ashley. I mean, and I always loved her.
Yeah, she's messy. We love her. I think at the time she was maybe the youngest housewife to ever start filming. She was like 26 or something. So,
oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Great housewife. But recently, I guess not recently, well, she's had 2 kids in the past, 2 years or something like that. And just recently has now legally separated, I think, from her husband, Michael Darby. So I think overwhelmingly, a lot of people, the fans, are very excited about that prospect because he's always been pretty problematic on the show. So I'm interested to kind of get an idea of like what's happening in her life and what changes you see for her. Because she seems like she's really like living her best life on social media right now. And
And this is sometimes where the astrology is uncanny because it's all in the chart. And one thing that always surprised me about Ashley, because back when I first started watching the show, I found her very just refreshing and I enjoyed watching her. So I looked up her birth information and just out of curiosity looked at her chart. And you know, she has her sun in Gemini, she has her moon in Aries, and that combination is so independent and fun and lighthearted and very passionate that I always got the sense that Michael Darby just isn't a good match for her astrologically speaking.
Okay.
You know, I feel like he really dimmed her light.
Okay.
And what's happening right now is that she's going through a transit that is once in a lifetime, if ever. Some people never experience it. But her Venus, the planet of relationships, is being challenged by the planet Neptune. So what I mean by that is that the planet Neptune is currently approximately 90 degrees away from her Venus. And it's not that Neptune is a bad planet, but it's just that when Neptune is challenging something, Neptune, the planet that rules water and fog and mist, tends to dissolve things. It's very common during a transit of Neptune squaring your Venus that a current relationship, mainly a romantic one, just dissolves. And the thing is that, see, there could have been times when maybe the same issues were going on, but I always say Neptune only dissolves what is dissolvable. So sometimes somebody goes through this transit, and the way that it might play out is that, you know, maybe their significant other for work has to be away for 6 months or for a year. So there's like that period of time where maybe things aren't as solid as they usually are. But if you are in a relationship that isn't good for you, this transit will just completely
exacerbate that.
Yes.
Okay.
The good thing that she also has happening, so that's an effect for her from February of 22 to February of 24. But what she has happening from March 22 to January 23 simultaneously is that her Venus is being positively impacted by the planet Saturn. Saturn, as I was just telling you, is about stability and feeling grounded. So although this is ending for her, it explains why she's feeling very good about it, because I think this has given her a new lease on life.
Yeah, it seems that way. So I think overall it's going to be positive.
I believe so. And for what it's worth, she also had a challenging Neptune transit a few years ago, Neptune squaring her sun, and the sun is your identity, your sense of self. And that was active for her from March of 2019 to March of 2021. And I think that would have been, you know, if she was coming to me as a client, I would be asking her about that 2 year period, because that would have been, I think, for her very debilitating for her identity and her sense of self.
Yeah. Trying to look at my list that I gave you. Quite a lot of changes with all the women that I chose. So there's three housewives and then one who's not, but someone that has other significant stuff going on in their life is Jin Shah. I thought was an interesting one. Now, I'm not a huge Jin Shah fan, but her name just kind of like popped into my head because obviously I'm a little bit interested to see where that's going and what's going on with her.
What's interesting is that when this all went down initially back in March of 21, I also looked at her chart. And the one thing she had happening right at that time is that she had Saturn by transit squaring or challenging her Mars. So Mars is a planet that's all about forward movement and action and you know, moving ahead with things very quickly. And Saturn is a planet that when it's challenging something in your chart, I often call Saturn the auditor. When Saturn comes around, and Saturn also is a planet of karma. So when Saturn comes around, because Saturn is also the planet that has to do with rules and limitations and doing, you know, crossing your T's and dotting your I's. So this is why sometimes people can get away with things for a long time. But when they have a Saturn transit like this, anything that you've done that isn't 100% truthful or legit will come to light. So in March of 21, she had that transit. And then what's also interesting is that back on November 30th of 2020, we had a lunar eclipse that day. And that lunar eclipse was exactly opposite her Neptune. So let me explain what that's about. Neptune is a planet that, among other things, has to do with deception, lying, and scams. If a lunar eclipse impacts something in your chart, it means that from that day all the way to 6 months later, something will come to light regarding whatever planet is being activated. So that kind of set the stage for why this whole thing erupted last year for her. Right now, it's looking a little bit difficult for her because right now she has a different Saturn challenge, Saturn squaring her Venus. Venus is money and finances and relationships. That's active from March of this year until February of 23. And then we just had a lunar eclipse on May 15th that was right on top of her Venus. So that to me tells me that financially, she's currently in a very difficult financial cycle.
Well, yeah. Do you watch the show?
I haven't watched the new season.
She basically borrowed $1 million from her like mom, who's like basically a teacher. So she basically like borrowed from her pension to like pay for her lawyer fees, which her mom's never seen that money come back. And it's really bad when you're borrowing money from a school teacher or whatever kind of teacher she was. So stuff's looking rough.
Yeah. So I'm not really seeing.
You think she's guilty?
I'm sorry?
You think she's guilty?
I do.
Yeah, I do too. There's no way. Come on.
Yeah, exactly. I don't buy. I mean, I don't know. Is she claiming, is she feigning ignorance? Like what's her whole thing?
I don't even honestly know. I think she just keeps saying that the charges aren't true, but I'm like, how are they not true? Let's be more specific. I think it's like very weird that she has super fans. It's like the people that like love Erica Jane. It's like very weird to me. It's like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and that also sounds a lot like Erica Jane, who also claims that, well, we don't even know if people didn't get paid. And everybody's like, wait, what?
I know. The whole thing is just so fucking... These days, I'm like, if someone's a criminal, they're a criminal. Well, that's interesting about her. So I was going to ask next about Teresa Giudice. Just because obviously she's engaged, she's planning a wedding, which we now all know the date and the location of, thanks to Miss Ramona Singer.
Gotta love her.
Yeah. Do you think they'll even have to, they probably can't even change the date and the location anymore. It's too, like, that's too crazy for of a wedding to.
Yeah. I would assume maybe they've, I don't know, have they like beefed up security measures or.
She's going to have to, I'm sure. But I don't think that many people are like driving out to Jersey to go see. It's not like it's in Manhattan. You know what I mean?
Right. Exactly.
Like, you know, but yeah, I'm interested in seeing kind of what's happening with her.
Yeah. So she right now is under a major transformative period because right now it started January 22. It's happening until January of 24. Once in a lifetime transit. She has Pluto right now 120 degrees away from her sun. So 120 degrees is called a trine, T-R-I-N-E. And that's a very transformative time in your life, one with a ton of shifts and changes. But when Pluto is trining something in your chart, you feel very empowered, very alive, because you can also have things like Pluto squaring your sun. Or Pluto opposite your sun, which applies to the person we'll be talking about after Teresa. Okay. And that's when you can be kind of overwhelmed by life because everything in your life gets flattened and destroyed. So Teresa's going through a rebirth. But the other thing she's going to have, and this is a little bit down the line, but July 24 to July 25, she's going to have Uranus right on top of her sun. Mm-hmm. Which happens once every 84 years. So she's never had it before. She won't have it again. And that is the ultimate transit of a reinvention. I wouldn't be surprised if around that time she's no longer on Jersey Housewives. Maybe she gets her own show. Maybe she's done with reality TV in general. But that's July 24 to July 25.
Yeah, I could see that. I mean, it'd be perfect if she just kind of like left after this wedding. That seems to me, in terms of storyline and arc, character arc. I mean, not really character arc. She's not like, she's actually kind of not really progressed as a person, but that's a whole other story.
And who knows, maybe that's when, I mean, maybe she ends up leaving Jersey or moving out, but that's a time, July 24 to July 25 is a time of, you know, the difference between what she's going through right now, the Pluto transit, it's much more about feeling empowered, feeling very good about herself and making changes. The Uranus transit coming up in a few years is more about very sudden, quick, dramatic changes that she could be in the driver's seat of. It doesn't mean that they're going to be external things that she has no control over, but there's a major ending, I believe, for her of sorts around that time.
Yeah. So in your interpretation, it'd probably be her leaving the show.
I would think so. Yeah, I think maybe just her identity, because the Sun is your identity. Maybe just her persona as a housewife at that point is done.
Okay. Fair. Seems to make sense. So the next person is someone that we actually discussed a bit before. And you were kind of explaining that everything that's been going on with her is all written. It's all like, it has to do with Saturn, right? This person, it's Wendy Williams, for anybody that, so obviously she's going through tons of changes in the past 2 years, I think. But I'm interested to see, you know, actually, I know somebody who works in production at the same studio, I guess, that they filmed the show. And they said that I think this Wednesday is supposed to be the final show ever. And I don't think that they told people that yet. I'm not sure. I believe that. Let me look it up, guys. Hold on 1 second. I have it in a DM.
Oh, okay.
Where is it? Where is it? He DM'd me. Guys, I can't find it right now. I thought he DM'd. Oh, next Thursday. Oh, so this was written last Thursday. So this Thursday will be the last day of the Wendy show and forever. He said of the season and forever. It won't be returning. Even though I think there were reports that it was going to turn into, right, the Sherry Shepherd show, which is garbage. I wouldn't watch that.
Same. I'm not.
Yeah, no.
So, I mean, once Wendy left and they started that rotating cast, and I don't have anything against any of them, but I didn't even watch. I don't really want to see any of them trying to replace her. It just wasn't the same.
Yeah, absolutely not.
And I would have been very upset if I wasn't. I mean, I guess those people got their tickets. Well, most people after a while got their studio audience tickets knowing that Wendy wouldn't be there. But if I got tickets in advance thinking I was going to go see Wendy and I got whatever, you know,
Michelle Visage. Did they buy them, or isn't it a lottery? I forget. Because I went once and I think it was free somehow. I don't know how we got free. Yeah, but.
Oh, they're always free.
Okay, right. That's what I was going to say. Yeah. So they got the but they didn't
pay. But at least when I went, I had to get them like 6 or 8 weeks in advance.
Yeah. You know? Then you're just like,
So at some point, people knew she wasn't coming back. But, you know, in Wendy's chart, and this is, you know, back in April of 2019, on my Instagram account, I did a little bit of a deep dive into her chart, because that was when I think she had just started to divorce from Kevin and all that stuff. And back then I even mentioned that 21 and 22 were going to be very difficult years for her because that's when she would be having, which some people never have, but Pluto opposite her sun. And when you have Pluto challenges, I always say, you know, Pluto is a planet that rules death, sometimes literal. And it's not surprising that she actually started that Pluto transit December of 2020, which is when her mother passed. So a lot of times during a Pluto transit, there can be a lot of grief. Sometimes you can have a lot of death around you. But all that aside, Pluto opposite the sun is a two-year period where your entire life kind of gets hit by an astrological hurricane that just flattens everything. And then you rebuild. But she's still under this for 6 more months. What I am seeing, though, also in her chart, starting next spring, all the way until spring of 24, she will have the planet Neptune supporting her sun. And Neptune is the ultimate planet of healing. So I do think that starting in the spring of 23, she's going to be coming out the other side. But there's another 9 months where I think she's still going through this Pluto transformation.
Yeah. Do you see in the future, I mean, I guess this just aside from the stars and everything, for Wendy, do you see like another, like a rebirth for her? Like, because people have mentioned, why doesn't she return to radio or even like a Wendy podcast would be interesting just to keep her out there. But I don't know,
I just don't know if, because here's my take. People on would all listen. This. For sure.
People would listen.
Yeah. I just think she would need somebody to keep her a little bit more on track. Yeah. Because I love this about her show, but the endless tangents.
Especially the later seasons when you could start to kind of see this decline and you would see her kind of just really ramble about nothing. And people were like, is she drunk? And I don't even think she was drunk. I think it was something else. You know what I mean? And it's just like, yeah. So she's really got to be like structured. But honestly, yes. That would even take away the charm too, right? So it's like,
that's the thing. But I don't know if the more rambly stuff translates well into a podcast.
Yeah.
Because I also think for Wendy, it was a lot about, at least for me, about just seeing her body language, her facial expressions, yeah. and she's talking about stuff.
Yeah.
And I
yeah,
also think yeah. she does, I think she does very well having a studio audience.
Yeah, it's true. When she goes out into the audience. Yeah.
Yeah. Or even I love, her. You know, when she would say, you know, clap if, and then oh, based yeah. on that. Right.
Do you like her? And why don't you buy her music? Sierra.
Right. Yeah.
Well, poor Wendy. You guys, by the time this episode airs, I guess the show will stop airing. So, yeah.
Wow. Yeah. But I also read about a month ago that Wendy was allegedly claiming that she was going to come back to her own show.
I think that she was just kind of saying stuff because it was like in passing too. She was like entering a party for Fashion Week or whatever the fuck it was. I don't know. You know,
and her date at that particular event was a gentleman who claimed that Queen Elizabeth had died.
Yes, thank you, Jason Lee. If anyone remembers Hollywood Unlocked, claiming that Queen Elizabeth was dead, would refuse to take the tweet down for like a week.
And
he was like dead
it.
Set.
Yeah, and stood He's by so claiming insane. He had sources. Yeah,
he's so insane. I think he was at an event recently where I was at. Someone was actually whispering about it. They were like, "There's a guy here who runs some blog," and I was like, "Oh my god!" Have you ever seen that clip of him when he's trying to approach Beyonce at Jay-Z's like brunch? Jay-Z has this like kind of like power brunch once a year, and Beyonce was there, and he's trying to like walk up and talk to her, and she's wearing these sunglasses, and she just looks at him and just pretends she doesn't see him and walks away, and he tries to corner her. Beyonce's like so friendly and nice and trying to be polite, but like really does not want to talk to this fucking reptile of a man. He's awful. Yeah, but.
Yeah. Oh yeah, so we do wish. I mean, I do wish Wendy well. I do think 23, there'll be some kind of resurgence. So astrologically, it's there.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, that's the list, guys. Someone else who's has pretty kind of huge stuff going on in their life right now is Britney Spears. Apparently, she got married. I didn't know she was getting married.
Neither did I.
I knew she was like engaged, but I didn't know what was going to happen. Yeah, she got married this past Thursday. I guess at her house. She got married at her home. I'm not gonna lie, you guys, she looked like shit, but we love her to pieces, but she looked tore up, y'all. Like as the photos I'm seeing of her dancing around in her tracks or in her ponytail, and she's wearing this like blazer with like just panties on underneath. I was like, but God love her, you know? She looked like
she
was having fun.
It's very on brand. Yeah.
That's probably how I'll be at my wedding, just like tore up, but I'm gonna have the best time ever. And I had to ask my friend Brian because he keeps me up to date with the Britney stuff because I don't really follow her like that. Mm-hmm. But it didn't look like anybody from her actual family was there.
Her older brother, Brian.
He was. Okay. But they have a good relationship, right? Okay.
Because I think Brian has stayed out of her life and never talked about her to the press.
Yeah.
You know, so I think she values that. But yeah, nobody else was there. Just Brian.
You think she'll ever get back with her family? Like get right with them? Or they'll get right with her, rather. Not that she owes them anything. Yeah.
I think there's way too much damage that has been done.
Yeah.
Maybe, possibly, I think out of the only, you know, between Jamie Lynn, her father and her mother, maybe the only one could be her mom, perhaps.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I think Jamie Lynn and her dad, that's like, no, never again.
You think she'll stay happy with this guy forever?
I hate to say this, but and this is not about astrology at all, but yeah. There's just something about him that I just don't know if he has her best interest in mind.
Really? Okay. See, I was going to say the opposite. I think that he seems like he's really dumb. So not really dumb, but like he just doesn't seem like the brightest. So I feel like their conversations are probably like very, you know what I mean? Like they probably just like have sex a lot and then like hang out and you'd like hang out by the pool and he films her doing her dances and the, and they're just like happy and it's okay to be dumb and happy.
I agree. And I mean, and he's dumb and happy, gorgeous. You know? Yeah, he's gorgeous.
She's gorgeous. So yeah. I personally think they'll be okay, but here's hoping.
The reason why I just said that is because I do remember a few instances, or at least one, where he was going to Hollywood events by himself.
Oh, yeah.
And that's when I was a little bit like,
Okay, yeah. Was he, he's a dancer, right?
I thought he was a personal trainer and like fitness influencer.
That aligns with my fantasy about like what their lives would be like. You know what I mean? She had like a, like they posted a People magazine posted a closer look at like photos. It was like a Cinderella slipper. Did you see that?
Oh, I didn't.
Yeah, it was like a glass slipper with the couple's wedding date etched in it near the bottom.
Cute.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very Britney.
Very Britney. Very on brand.
Yeah. You know who I was surprised to see as a guest? I had no idea they were even close. No, well, that was kind of like, oh, okay, but Selena Gomez.
Gomez, that's another one, yeah. I feel like a lot of these celebrities probably talk to each other on the side, but have never like hung out, you know what I mean? I feel like they probably feel like a little bit akin. Is it akin? Akin spirits? Just because Selena Gomez grew up in the public eye. And wasn't Selena Gomez a Disney girl?
She was, yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't fully feel like Madonna, although I love Madonna, but I also like know who Madonna is, or I feel like I know who she is because in my mind, but like, I don't feel like their connection is 100%. I don't want to say genuine, but I feel like they have the thing in common that they both were pop princesses, you know what I mean? But does it go deeper than that? I don't know that, you know, because it sounds like Madonna was pretty out of the picture for most of the tumultuous stuff. And then when it kind of gained traction with the Free Britney movement, all of a sudden, then I would hear Madonna talking. Do you know what I mean? Like, I feel like kind of used her for the kiss and the spectacle of that. And then was like, okay, peace.
Yeah.
But I think that's how Madonna operates when you grow up in that world of fame. And it just kind of like, you know, she performed once with Drake on stage and tried to make out with him without asking him, apparently. And you could, his reaction was just so, makes me feel that she like gets on a stage with another person who she thinks that has like kind of what's the word I'm looking for? Like just that, I'm like having a brain fart with it, but it has like kind of that, Something like something that she wants to steal from, almost like a vampire. Do you know what I mean? So she just kind of like latches on for a little bit. That sounds so terrible. I love you, Madonna. Not that Madonna's listening to this podcast, but I feel like she's all knowing and all hearing, and she has people everywhere. So y'all, please don't hate me. Y'all know I love Madonna, but you know, but to love her is to know that she is not perfect.
Yes. Yeah, so are you, so were you surprised to see her at the wedding? Is that what you're saying? That you just wouldn't expect her to be there?
I guess I wasn't really surprised to see her because it was like a social event of the season for the who's who of Hollywood, whatever. But Drew Barrymore was one I wasn't expecting. So, yeah. But Drew Barrymore also is someone who grew up in the eye of the, so it's like, almost like these women have like all that in common.
Yeah. And especially, you know, Drew Barrymore was the one who was saying that, you know, when she was 12 years old, she was like drinking alcohol at Studio Hollywood 54. Clubs. Right. Yeah. So I can see how that, but it also seemed, I mean, I've seen like that epic photo that everybody has, you know, put on their Instagram stories talking about like, oh, you know, this is like the dream wedding guest list, but it's, so it's Madonna, Drew Barrymore, Selena Gomez, who else?
Donatella.
Yeah, right, Donatella.
Yeah.
But I would have expected like 30 or 40 big name celebrities. It seems like it was, I guess it's a smaller event.
Yeah, it seems that, because that's the only photos I've seen. But then again, I'm not like a Britney stan, so I looked at the photos, kept them pushing, you know what I mean? Good luck to her and them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I still wonder, like, was Christina invited?
Oh, yeah, that's true. I doubt it. No. Because the last time they got into kind of like a little bit of a spat, right? Or at least Britney kind of came out hitting at her on Twitter or something like that.
Yeah.
Britney also bought a new house, guys. Apparently she has a massive new home to go with the new marriage. And she's already packed up to move. They said that she put down $11.8 million for a mansion in Calabasas. And it's in the same neighborhood as K-Fed. So, yeah.
Who the two boys live with him most of the time?
I think so. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
So that it might be that. Maybe that's a factor. Yeah.
Yeah. See, and that just throws me back to the chaotic days back in the early aughts.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, that was gold. That was like golden reality TV time, because you had Chaotic, you had Anna Nicole, you had Being Bobby Brown.
I've never seen a more apt title for a reality show than Chaotic.
Right?
Not even a good show, honestly. No. Like, it was just like craziness. It made literally no sense. But I remember the one thing that came out of that time period that I'm always thinking of is that cell phone footage of her, and it wasn't even from the show. It was like her and K-Fed sitting in some hotel room at looks like 3 a.m. in the morning. She's got the trucker hat on and it's like down to here.
She's
like slamming her hand on the table and she's like, yeah, I'm talking about this. Did it. And like twitching, skeeted out of her fucking mind. God knows what. Loved that. It was so clear something was happening. Yeah.
And that show, I think, also those even some of the scenes, if I'm remembering correctly, were like night vision camera.
Oh,
they were. Like that, like weird, like greenish, right?
They were. What a time, Jesus.
Truly, and Being Bobby Brown is one of the. I mean, it's the pinnacle of reality TV. I'm sorry.
Do you have a favorite Britney album?
I'm gonna say In the Zone.
Okay. Yeah. And so that was my entry point, but Blackout was really, Blackout's like a classic. Everyone knows, but you know, In the Zone is great.
Yeah. I think go ahead.
Cause it's got her best song ever, Toxic, which if anyone doesn't know this, Kylie Minogue turned that down. So.
Well, and the other reason why I like In the Zone is that it has Breathe On Me, which sounds very much like a Kylie song.
That's true. Yeah. Oh, what a time. I want to talk about some other stuff. I want to talk to you about Real Housewives, because you kind of caught up on that. So we can talk a bit about what's going on over there.
Yes.
Do you want to tell the people a bit about the podcast and where to book your services? Because, guys, it was extremely helpful for me. And a lot of the stuff that Andy told me when he did my reading, my natal reading, and my year ahead, I found it to be really helpful, and it was really on point. Even down to dates, it was pretty interesting. So he's astrologywithandy.com. You can also follow him on Instagram, but tell him about anything else you've got going on.
Yeah, there's also the podcast Astrology with Andy. Mm-hmm. And that's, again, where some episodes I'm explaining in very easy to understand terms certain things about astrology. Sometimes I have guests on, so like I've read the charts of and spoken to like Melissa Beck from Real World New Orleans, Tammy Brown from Drag Race, Vanessa Williams.
Okay.
So that's been very cool. And as far as booking a reading with me, astrologywithandy.com, you can click on services, and I offer about 8 different ones. And you book it, you pay for it all through my website, so it's very easy. And already, because you know, you've given me a few shout outs on your social media, which I've really appreciated. And through that, I've met probably about 20 or 25 of your listeners.
Yeah. Oh, really? That's crazy. Yeah. I mean, every time I talk about it, people always end up writing me. Sometimes they'll forget the name or something like that, but I'm glad that helps. Yeah.
Yeah. So thanks for that. But you know, and I offer, so It can be just your natal chart or just the year ahead. I also do relationship readings. And you can do that in any capacity, romantic partners, friends, business partners, family members, whatever. But that's another way that you can use astrology to kind of figure out how to better navigate something.
Okay, cool. Well, we're going to continue talking over on the B side. You guys can go to patreon.com/theBList to subscribe to the bonus episodes there. You get this bonus episode and any previous ones and any ones in the future. Yeah, let's go talk about Real Housewives of Beverly Hills because I'm interested in seeing what you think or hearing what you think about all that. And I also want to touch on Dubai. I don't know if I'm going to keep watching it, honestly.
I saw one episode and I wasn't particularly drawn to watch a second, but...
Yeah. Have you seen Real Housewives of Atlanta recently?
I haven't.
You haven't? Yeah. Yeah, not missing much. Okay.
I feel like the golden era for that was like...
Yeah.
See, for me, best, 4, 5, 6, 7 was like the peak of that. And then I just, after season 10, I just dropped.
Yeah. Yeah. You're not the only one. You guys check us out on the B side. We're going to go now.
All right.
Bye.
See you there.